As already referred to, yesterday the 20th of March marked the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Free Presbyterian Church here in Garva. The man behind this new venture in 1971 was the Reverend John Wiley, who at that time was the minister in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church. The Reverend Wiley had been very active in seeking to establish new witnesses for the preaching of the gospel in the Northwest. And so, when he heard that the old Reformed Presbyterian Church on the Kilray Road in Garva was for sale, he purchased it in 1970 for the sum of £3,000. After some needed renovation work was carried out, the building was officially opened as a Free Presbyterian work on Saturday the 20th of March 1971. The following month, in April 1971, the Reverend Alan Kearns, who was at that time minister of Calbra Free Presbyterian Church, conducted the first gospel mission. A number of souls in that mission professed faith in Christ, and so the nucleus of a new congregation was established. This then led Presbytery to place Mr. George Hutton as the student minister of the congregation. And during his time of service, the Lord's Day services went from one Sabbath afternoon service to two services, one in the morning and one in the evening. After Mr. George Hutton's time came to an end, in January 1975, Mr. David Gordon was placed as the next student minister to look after the work. And the following year, on the 16th of September 1976, Mr. Gordon was called and became the first ordained minister of the congregation here. During the Reverend Gordon's time in Garva, an extension was added to the old church on the Kilray Road, and a new manse was purchased. Now, after the Reverend Gordon received a call to be the minister of Larne Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Ian Gallagher was installed as the minister in September 1981. His time as pastor of the congregation was to be a short one, for in 1984, he was called to serve the Lord in Vancouver, Canada. However, during his time as minister, the first Kirk session was elected in November 1982 to oversee the work. Then in 1985, a call was extended to the Reverend Alan Edgar. The Reverend Edgar ministered in Garva until the close of 1991. And during his time, a children's meeting was commenced. The Reverend Alan Lamont was the next man to occupy the pulpit, and he was ordained and installed in January 1995. And it was during his ministry that the present site was purchased on the Fort Road. And the church that we meet in today was opened on the 1st of April 2000. The Reverend Lamont then received a call to be the minister of Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church in June 2001. Just over a year later, on the 27th of June 2002, the Reverend Andrew Patterson was then installed as the next minister of the congregation. It was during his ministry that plans got underway for the erection of a church hall. However, the Reverend Andrew Patterson concluded his service in November 2011 when he received and accepted a call from Kilkeel Free Presbyterian Church. Then on the 31st of January 2014, I was ordained and installed to the Christian ministry here in Garva. And almost 4 years ago, on Saturday, the 1st of April 2017, we as a fellowship had the joy of opening our new church hall. And so here we are today, having just passed the 50-year mark of the work and witness of the Free Presbyterian Church in Garva. As a congregation, we could fittingly quote the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 26 in the verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, we continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and to great. We have obtained help of God to continue even to this very time. Of course, this is but a brief history, a very brief history, an outline of the church in Garva. And there are many, many other things that I could refer to as we reflect on these past 50 years. There are good times that we could speak of. People that have been saved in times of blessing as the word of God has been preached. There have also be times of difficulty, times of trouble, times of hardship. These times come in God's work. There have been times of joy and times of sadness and grief. And no doubt, those that have been here a lot longer than I have could go into great detail as they look back over the last 50 years. And they could mention many, many notable events and speak of significant times for the work of God here in this corner of his vineyard. However, today as we mark the 50th anniversary of the work of God in this fellowship, the subject I want us to consider is the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. You see, when God gave to Moses the different laws and regulations by which the people of Israel were to live by, he told Moses that every 50th year was to be a special year. And it was to be known as the year of Jubilee. We have read of this special 50th year here in Leviticus 25. See what it says in verse 10 here in this chapter. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. And so we see here that Israel were to mark every 50 years. And they were to do certain things in that particular year. The year of jubilee. Every 50 years was a special year. And the Lord gave this instruction to Moses right before the children of Israel were to go into the land of Canaan. And so as they went into the land of Canaan to possess that land, they were to mark every 50 years in a special way. Every 50th year was to be known as the year of Jubilee. As we then mark 50 years of this congregation here in Garva, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and consider how God told Israel they were to mark the 50th year. I believe there are lessons we can learn here in regard to how we should mark 50 years of the work and witness of this church. What then was special about the year of Jubilee? What was significant about this time? Well, the year of Jubilee was a year that was notable for three things. It was notable for three things. In the first place, In the year of Jubilee, there was a remembering. The very fact that Israel were to mark every 50 years with this year of Jubilee indicates that this time was a time of remembrance. The people of Israel were to remember and reflect upon the truth that every 50th year was a special time. It was a special time. They were to remember this. Notice how this year is described again in the opening words of verse 10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year. The word hallow here means to consecrate or dedicate to a holy purpose. The 50th year was to be dedicated or consecrated to a holy purpose. This is how the year of Jubilee or the 50th year was to be remembered. It was not just another year. It was just not just another year in the calendar, another year to tick off. No, it was a special time. A year dedicated and consecrated to a holy purpose. Therefore, the year of Jubilee very much involved a remembering. A remembering that this was a special time. A hallowed time. However, as we think of this remembering, we must consider what the people of Israel were to especially remember in the Jubilee year. What were they to remember? How were they to dedicate or consecrate this year? Well, I believe as we examine this passage, we see that God's people were especially to remember two things. They were to remember two things. In the first place, they were to remember God's provision for them. On the 50th year, they were to especially remember God's provision for them. We see this from the very fact that the year of Jubilee began on the Day of Atonement. That's when it began. It tells us this in verse 9. See what it says in verse 9 here in Leviticus 25. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And so the Jubilee year didn't begin on the very first day of the month, of the first month. It began on the Day of Atonement. This was when the special Jubilee year began, as the trumpet sounded on the Day of Atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement was one of the most important and one of the most significant days in the nation of Israel. It was important, for on this day the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies and there sprinkled the blood of an animal on the mercy seat to make atonement for the people. This was the day that the high priest went beyond the veil, the only day that the high priest went beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies and there took the blood and sprinkled it upon the mercy seat to make atonement for the sins of the congregation, to make atonement for all of the sins of the people. He sprinkled the blood there upon the mercy seat before God's face to make atonement for sin. And so the Day of Atonement was the day when the sins of God's people were symbolically blotted out by the blood of sacrifice. It was the day that sin was covered, that sin was put away, the sin was atoned for. That God's justice was satisfied in that sense. Now, although this Day of Atonement happened once every year, on the 50th year after this atonement was made, the trumpet was sounded and the year of Jubilee began. After the Day of Atonement, on the 50th year, the trumpet sounded throughout all the land to let people know that the year of Jubilee had begun. This was how this special 50th year commenced on the Day of Atonement. Therefore, the year of Jubilee for Israel began with a remembering and a focusing upon God's great provision for their souls. God meeting their greatest need, the need for atonement. Do you see that? This was the most significant act in their worship. The Day of Atonement, the day their sins were put away, the day their sins were covered. And after this happened in the 50th year, the trumpet sounded. After this great provision had been made, the year of Jubilee was declared. Indeed, as the year of Jubilee began on the Day of Atonement, God was reminding the people of Israel that every blessing they enjoyed as his people flowed from the reality and the truth that atonement had been made for their souls and their sin had been covered. And really, that's the significance here, you see. After the Day of Atonement, after the blood was sprinkled in the mercy seat, then the year of Jubilee was declared. And that reminded the people of Israel that all that they enjoyed as God's people flowed out of the atonement that had been made. The provision God had made for them. The year of Jubilee was then a time of remembering God's great provision for them. That they were his people. They belonged to him because he had provided atonement for them. He had provided a way in which their sins could be dealt with. And so therefore they could be his God. Or they could be his people and he could be their God and live in the blessing of his salvation. How important it is as we mark the 50th anniversary of the work in Garva that we remember this work exists all because of the Day of Atonement. That's why this work exists. That's why there's a church in Garva. Not because men have planted a church. Not because men decided, listen, let's try and start a work here. But the church in Garva exists because of the Day of Atonement. And that day, of course, that I'm speaking about is the day that Christ went to the cross and made atonement for our sin, put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself, shed his precious blood, and made atonement for our souls, and so enabled us to come as his people and to worship him and to be his people and belong to him and to enjoy his salvation. That's why there's a church in Garva, because of the Day of Atonement. And this is what we must continually remember. Ever keep in focus. God's great provision for our souls. We are his people. We are Christians today. We are part of this work. Not because we are special people, but because of the Day of Atonement. Because blood has been shed on our behalf. And sacrifice has been made. The reason why the church exists in any place is because of the Day of Atonement. This is what we as God's people should continually remember. God's great provision for our souls. And this is what the people in Israel were to remember. As the Jubilee year was called on the Day of Atonement, that because provision was made for them, they could now enjoy and live in the blessings of salvation as God's people. But then they were not only to remember God's provision for them in the Jubilee year, they were also to remember God's plan for them. God's plan for them. This again is brought before us in verse 10. See again what it says here in verse 10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. We are told here that in the year of Jubilee, a liberty was to be proclaimed throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. A liberty was to be proclaimed. This liberty meant that all debts were cancelled and all the people of Israel could enjoy the portion God had given to them. And that's what this liberty was. All the debts that people owed were cancelled. And all of the people in Israel could now enjoy the portion God had given to them. Let me illustrate this in this way. Imagine a family in Israel, and this particular family had fallen on hard times. They had got into financial trouble, perhaps by being negligent, by being slack, or maybe just through the circumstances of life. This particular family had got into financial trouble. They were in great debt. As a result of that trouble, the land this family had been given by God had to be sold. It was sold off to try and clear their debts. And to provide for his family, the head of this home had to sell himself as a servant, or really a slave, to one of his neighbours. He worked day and night for his neighbour, just so he could obtain food for his family, so they could survive. So they could have a little shelter. And their basic needs could be met. And so the situation for this man and his family was really a most miserable one. A most horrible one. He was so poor. He was destitute. He had nothing. All he had was the clothes on his back and food to eat. And there was going to be no prospect of change. Because he had worked himself into such a hole. And he was found in such a mess. However, as the trumpet sounded proclaiming the year of Jubilee, this man and his family were set free from all of their debt. And not only that, they would also get their land and home back. They would get back that portion of ground that God had given to them when he brought them into the land of Canaan, the promised land. You see, this is what happened in the year of Jubilee. All of God's people were liberated from all of their debts and enjoyed again the portion God had given to them. Therefore, the year of Jubilee reminded the people of God, reminded the people of Israel of God's plan for their lives. That's what it reminded them of. It reminded them of God's plan for their lives. It was God's will for them that they should live in the enjoyment and the blessing of his salvation. That was God's will for the people of Israel. Remember what God had promised to them? He said he would give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's speaking about prosperity. That's speaking about blessing. That's speaking about happiness. This was God's plan for his people. This was his will for their lives. And so, as the year of Jubilee came around, and all debts were cancelled, and people were freed from their servitude and liberated to go now and possess the land God had given to them, they were reminded, this is God's plan for our lives. To live in the enjoyment and freedom of our salvation. To live as his people. A prosperous life. That's what the year of Jubilee reminded them of. Not only God's provision that he'd made atonement for them, but his plan for their lives. That they were to live as his people. A life of blessing and happiness. Now again, this is something we need to remember as we mark the 50th anniversary of the work here in Garva. We need to remember what God's plan is for our lives as his people. Let me say this. It's not that we live in spiritual poverty. That is not God's plan for this church or for any believer in this church. That we live in spiritual poverty. God's plan is that we enjoy the blessings of His salvation. And that we're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And we know fruitfulness. And we know blessedness in our lives and in this work. That's God's plan. You see, when it comes to anniversaries and special occasions, it's not just a time to look back, but it's also a time to look forward. It's so important we remember this. Because sometimes anniversaries and special occasions can get bogged down in looking back and reminiscing at what has happened in the past. But you don't find this in the scriptures. In fact, the scriptures do the opposite. In the light of the past, it always speaks about the future. The Apostle Paul draws this to our attention in Philippians 3. Turn again to that passage we read earlier in Philippians 3. And notice what Paul says here very significantly in this passage about bringing into view the past in relation to the future. Notice what it says here in Philippians 3 from verses 5 to 11. Paul really gives a summary of his life. And he speaks of how he came to trust in Christ. And this is what he does. He gives his testimony. And this was a wonderful thing for Paul. His testimony. He was saved. He was a believer. All these things had happened to him. And this was such a wonderful thing. But then notice what he says here in verses 12 to 14. Philippians 3. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also, or also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now notice what Paul does here. He was remembering the past, but he wasn't living in it. And that's so significant. He says here that he, forgetting those things that are behind. And that doesn't mean that he's just ignoring them. No. It means that he's not living in those things that are behind. He's not living off the fumes of a past Christian experience. That's what he's saying. But what's he doing? He's reaching forth and pressing forward in the Christian life. That's what he's doing. You see, what he was doing was this. He was constantly remembering God's plan for his life. And that was to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the plan. That was the plan for the people of Israel. That was the plan for the Apostle Paul. Let me say this, that's the plan for us too. As a congregation and as individual believers, this is God's plan. We press on towards the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The reality is, it is foolish and futile talking about what has happened in the past if you're not pressing on in the present. It is foolish talking about what has happened in the past if you're not pressing on in the present. It's a total waste of time. It's hollow and empty words. It's living in the past instead of living for God now. And so on the 50th anniversary Sunday, we need to remember, on this 50th anniversary service, we need to remember God's plan for our lives. That we live as His people. His people in Garva. His people in this community. That we serve our King. That we press on daily in the Christian life. And that we live in the freedom and blessing of our salvation. That's God's plan. And this is what Israel were to remember. on the Jubilee year. And this is what we need to keep into focus. We need to remember God's provision and God's plan. But then in the second place, in the year of Jubilee, there was not only a remembering. We also see here in the year of Jubilee, there was a returning. A returning. This is spoken of at the end of verse 10. See again what it says in this verse. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. It's very much the thought here of returning. Returning. Ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. This is what happened in the year of Jubilee. There was a returning of every man to his family and to his farm. And I've already described such a scenario taking place. A man being liberated, set free, and going in to possess the portion God had given to him. However, as we think of this returning which took place in the year of Jubilee, there are two things which we should note about it. We can say this returning involved repentance. It involved repentance. It involved a repentance in the sense that the person who was living as a servant to someone else was now to completely forsake that service and work. They had to leave behind that life of labour and return to their own property and people. And so therefore there was the forsaking of one way of living to go and live in a different way. And of course this is what repentance is. This is what repentance involves. A turning around, and it involves going in a different direction. This is exactly what repentance means. A U-turn. Turning around. Therefore this returning in the year of Jubilee in this sense involved a repentance. A leaving behind the way they were living in servitude. To go out and to go and to live in a different way. Now, repentance in the life of a Christian is something which is continually, should be continually in action. Repentance is something which is a continual process. We should continually be repenting. We should never forget this because we continually sin. Therefore, we need to continue to repent of our sin. Continually. Every day. There should be a repentance in the life of the Christian. Yet as we think of this repentance which would have taken place in the year of Jubilee, it does remind us that there are times in our lives when we should stop and consider. Consider carefully. Do we need to go in a different direction? Do we need to return, spiritually speaking, to the place where we once were? Is there things that need to be forsaken in our lives? The year of Jubilee brought this into focus. This returning back into the right way again. And perhaps this is the case even in your life. As you look back over the last 50 years or whatever years you can remember in this fellowship, maybe there was a time that you were living in a different way. And if you're being honest with God today, not with me or anyone else, you must be honest with God because this is His word. If you've been honest with God today, you could truthfully say, I'm not where I once was. Things have come in. Maybe it's sinful conduct. Some particular sinful conduct has come into your life. And that needs to be repented of. Maybe it's not sinful conduct. Maybe it's shallow Christianity. This is very much the Christianity that is abroad in these times. And yes, it is found in the free church. And shallow Christianity is something that needs to be repented of. Merely having an affiliation with a work, identifying with a work, and yet not living for Christ, needs to be repented of. Maybe it's spiritual coldness. And as you look into your own heart and you examine your own soul today, You can say, yes, there was that time in the past where I loved the Lord, where I was zealous for Him, where I was fine with God's people in the place of prayer. But that isn't there today. And so as we stop and consider this returning on the 50th year, is it a time for you to personally repent and turn around in regard to the direction you're headed in, you're living in? Think of a servant returning home in the year of Jubilee. Try to put yourself into his shoes for a moment. As he heard the trumpet perhaps there in the distance sounding, and he recognized the sound, that's the year of Jubilee. And he set down his tools, his work that he was doing, that he was involved with. And he made for home, and as he was walking down the road, treading down the road towards home, he would have been thinking, how I got into this mess. What went wrong? How he behaved foolishly, perhaps in his business, in his life. He would have been thinking about all of those things that he had done in the past. And he would have said to himself, I must not go in the same way again. I must repent of those things. Maybe that's the place you need to be today. There needs to be a returning, a repentance in your life. This returning not only involved a repentance, but marvelously it involved a restoration. A restoration. A man that went out free in the year of Jubilee, his debts were not only cancelled and annulled, he also received again all that he had lost. He received again all that he had lost. This is what verse 10 is telling us. Ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And this is speaking about full restoration. They get back their fields, all their fields, and they get back their family. Everything that they lost was restored. As the freed servant was set at liberty in the year of Jubilee, they returned to full restoration. Now this does remind us of how good and gracious is the Lord. How good and gracious is the Lord. It was not God's will, as I've already said, that any of his people should live in poverty. And so what did God do? In his grace he gave to the people of Israel the year of Jubilee, a time where they could be restored, a time where restitution could be made, restoration could be made to them, and they could have again all that they had previously lost. This is still how God graciously treats his people. This is still how God deals with his people. He provides restoration for them. Of course, he doesn't do it in the year of Jubilee. He could do it this year, but it's not in the year of Jubilee God supplies or provides restoration. But God provides restoration for his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is restoration in Christ because he's married to the backslider. Jeremiah tells us. And in him we possess and enjoy every spiritual blessing. This is where there's spiritual restoration today. In Christ. And so therefore if you, as you've examined your heart, see that you need to repent, what are you to do? Flee to Christ. Flee to the one that can provide every spiritual blessing and strength and spiritual health for you and for your soul. God provides restoration for his people. Therefore, as we think of this year of Jubilee, the 50th year of the work in this church, what we need to consider is, do we need to know spiritual restoration in our lives? Is there need to seek Christ afresh that we would enjoy spiritual blessing and increase? I believe there is. In fact, I would emphatically say there is. We need restoration. We in this church need restoration. So often I speak to people, and I'm speaking about Free Presbyterians. And they say something like this: things aren't the same as they used to be. In the early days, things were different. And they speak about the meetings that they had and the great numbers and the people and all of these things. And they speak of the prayer meetings and all the times of prayer. And they go on like this. And they speak all of these things in the good old days. But you know what all such talk is? It is merely an acknowledgement that we need restoration. That's all it is. We need to return to Christ and to His Word. That's what the church needs in these days. That's what this church needs. We need to know restoration, and we need to return to Christ again, that we might know and enter into God's blessing in our lives. The Jubilee year was a year of returning. Returning. Returning to the place of blessing. I know that this would be our activity in this year. Oh, that this would be the way that we would behave as a fellowship. That we would return as a congregation to God. And that we would know times of communion. Our prayer meetings are attended in the most atrocious way. And I'm not giving off today, dear people. I am not speaking in anger. I'm speaking the truth. Our prayer meetings are absolutely atrocious in regard to attendance. If you profess faith in Christ, you should be with God's people in prayer. That's the truth. I would not be faithful to my God and Savior if I did not tell you that today. Why are you not in the prayer meeting? Why are you not in the evening service? How can you expect to know God's blessing in your life or in this work if we don't return to God? It's impossible. We can't. We must be serious. We must be serious in return. This is what happened in the Jubilee year in Israel. Let us mark our Jubilee year in this way. Not only with the remembering, but with the returning. One last thing, notice with me here. In the year of Jubilee, there was a resting. There was a resting. Not only a remembering and a returning, a resting. Read of this in verses 11 and 12. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you, and ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. Notice here it speaks of how in the Jubilee year the people of Israel were not to sow or reap. They were not to sow or reap. They were not to work or to produce food for themselves in the Jubilee year. Instead, they were to live of that which God caused to grow in the fields. And they were daily to gather that which they needed. And that's what happened. In the Jubilee year, they didn't have a harvest time. But they went out, and that which grew of itself, they gathered on a daily basis so that they could be sustained and live. Therefore, the year of Jubilee was a year of rest for the people of Israel. It was a time when they stopped earthly work and they trusted. And this is the point. They wholly trusted in the Lord to provide the food that they needed for that year. That's what happened. They rested from their own work and activity, and they wholly trusted in God on a daily basis to provide the food that they needed. I believe there's also a very important lesson here for us as God's people as we mark the 50th anniversary of the work in Garva. You see, one of the greatest dangers in God's work is thinking that you are self-sufficient. One of the greatest dangers, perhaps the greatest danger, thinking that you're self-sufficient. This is something that can happen as time goes by. We adopt the attitude that was found in the Laodicean church, spoken of in Revelation 3. That church thought of itself I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They imagined they were self-sufficient and that now they were established and they had really made it. That's the problem. That's what the problem was in the Laodicean church. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. In other words, we're established. We're self-sufficient. We really don't need anything anymore. We can depend upon ourselves. This can so easily happen over time. In a congregation or in a people. It can happen to the church. And it can happen to the individual Christian. We've got our building. And God has blessed us with a comfortable, beautiful building. We've got our services. We've got all of these different things. A pound or two in the bank. And sure, we're established. And we're self-sufficient. And we can just get on with things here and do our wee bit. Come and go from God's house on a Sunday. And really, you know, well, with need of nothing. But the 50th year reminded the people of Israel that as they lived as God's people, they needed to trust the Lord for everything. Trust the Lord for everything. And this is something we need to remember on our 50th year. We need to trust the Lord for everything. We as a fellowship need Christ to preserve alive his work here. That's what we need. This work will not be kept alive by our efforts. Ever. That will never happen. This work has continued to this very day. Because Christ has preserved it alive. And it will only continue as long as he does that. Only continue. Therefore we must trust him and look to him continually. Yes, we all are to work and labor for the building up of the church of Christ. We are to pray. We are to witness. We are to support the work as best we can. But at the end of the day, it's only Christ that can give the increase. And we're shut into that reality as a fellowship. We're shut into that reality. And really, that's what will move us to the prayer meeting. Or ought to move us to the prayer meeting. That will move us to the place where we'll seek Christ earnestly and sincerely, shut into this reality that we need him. We're completely dependent upon him for all things. We're not self-sufficient. This is what moves us to truly call upon him. Let us then as a fellowship look to him by faith. Let us seek after his blessing in our lives. Surely this is what we want. Is this not what you want for yourself, for your family, and for this church? God's blessing. The year of Jubilee reminds us, God delights to bless his people. Give them rest. And meet their needs. Oh, may it please the Lord to give us a joyful year of Jubilee. A joyful year of Jubilee. The word Jubilee in the Hebrew means to blow the trumpet. Or to be joyful. Oh, that this year would be a year of joy. A year of joy for this work. A year of joy for our lives. As we remember God's plan for us. As we return to the Lord again. And as we rest in his provision. May we know a time of great blessing and joy in our lives and in this fellowship. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts today for his own name's sake. Amen.